Greetings in the name of the one by whose provision our lives are upheld. So in early July, the first images from the James Webb telescope came to us on planet Earth, allowing human life to see millions of miles into the universe with more clarity than ever before. The images show light that came into being some 13 billion years ago, the oldest light that exists in the universe. It shows galaxies and galaxies, each holding their own network of millions and billions of stars and planets. The images help tell the story of the evolution of galaxies and stars, and the magnitude and scale of such distance and space and time can be head-spinning. For many of our human species, the perspective that these images offer can also induce wonder, awe, and also introspection. Who are we, tiny specks of life, amidst this vastness? Certainly this tiny blue-green globe that is our home cannot be the only one to bear life, or at least life as we know and recognize it. I do not think that a person needs to believe in God to come to the sense that whatever the probability of life as we know it, the web of life from which we have come is incredibly precious and fragile. A miracle or chance of some kind, a tiny blip in the space-time continuum. Perhaps the perspective may even be enough to bend a knee in humble wonder, or in a respectful bow of fear and awe. A glance to the heavens can change how we see ourselves here, the meaning of our lives or life itself, and how we understand the future. And so out into this vast space and time shown by the Webb telescope goes the cantata that we just heard, welling from the heart-mind of a human life many years ago, brought together in a mix of unique human voices, a harmony of beauty here in this space, and sent uniquely on wave after wave into this vastness. We, you, offer this uniquely human gift from our unique place here on the planet we call Earth. And we offer it to the universe, sound and beauty sent forth. Miracle of miracles. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is asked to serve as an arbiter of rabbinical law, but he refuses. He refuses because he knows that their quest is not, in its deepest sense, one of justice. It comes from seeds of greed that are germinating in a human heart. The younger brother desires more than the share that Jewish custom and law allow him. And though an arbiter could refuse the unjust request, the ruling would not address the heart of the matter. And Jesus sees this. The issue goes deeper into motive and desire. For the younger brother, this is competitive envy or greed, self-promotion, ego. And Jesus sees this as the heart of the issue. The healing he offers is one of perspective. The things that you have stored up, whose will they be when you are gone? Another way of saying this comes in the same chapter in Luke, but several verses away. Words that are also echoed in the cantata. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasures in heaven. I was raised to think of streets of gold in a never-ending paradisal mansion in the sky. But I wonder if their meaning carry more power than this. What perspective comes from thinking of the heavens? What can looking at the blue-green globe hanging amidst so much dark matter and miracle of stars born and dying every instant possibly teach us about ourselves, about what we treasure, and about what matters. Do the social influencers have more power in the planets beyond ours? Does our prestige or the number of our possessions? Theology professor Douglas Christie wrote a book on the important practice of contemplative spirituality for our own ecological and planetary health. How we think matters for how we live on this precious living planet on which we find ourselves. In one of his last chapters, he writes about how the ancient monastic practice of paradise, inhabiting the kingdom of heaven, can teach us to live well on our earth. Practicing paradise is a pursuit in which the cares and worries of the world, the desires that hold us captive in self-promotion or ego or desire, are set aside. Christie quotes, pardon my Latin, Evagrius Ponticus, a 4th-century Christian monk and ascetic. And Christie writes this: its fundamental value is rooted in the possibility that one might learn to live in a condition of radical trust, neither calculating nor planning for one's needs beyond the present moment. The realization of this possibility, Evagrius suggests, depends on a certain intentionality, seeking above all for the kingdom of heaven. And it affects not only one's own well-being, opening up a space in one's own soul where freedom from care can take root. A monastic economy based on such detachment understands possessions as gifts that are always to be shared with a larger community. End quote. Perhaps simply, in my words, a paradisal perspective is that we have been given what we need. After our basic needs have been met, human work is in being more, not in having more, as the UN Earth Charter reminds us. The title for Christie's book is The Blue Sapphire of the Mind, a phrase which he took from the work of Evagrius. Millennia ago, Evagrius wrote this, referencing the Colossians reading that we read earlier. When the mind has put off the old self and shall put on the new one born of grace, then it will see its own state in a time of prayer resembling sapphire or the color of heaven. Sapphire color of heaven, the color of the night sky, reflects the dawning, the putting on of a state of grace. It is the revealing of a sense of provision and enoughness. The heavens reflect. We have been given what we need. We have been given what we need. It is to trust that this is so, to open ourselves to see this state of grace, the setting array of colors of our perfectly placed star, the sun, the waters that twin the sky sapphire, spices and herbs on the tongue, the flutter of the wings of a saffron finch, music and harmony welling from human voice and string and instrument, these hints of the eternal resounding at the heart of the universe, these echoes of heaven, provision. And it is in this grace that we send you, Scott and Marcus, entrusting you to this provision that has been with you, that is with you now, and that goes with you, however frightening or uncertain, however exciting and enriching the next step feels. You are, as I trust we all are, held in the grace that began this earth spinning and that carries your songs into worlds beyond. Amen.
Now my vision, ELW 793.